I have a friend who told me that a few weeks ago she ordered several books she particularly wanted to read. She was delighted to have had them delivered to her gate. The next morning, as soon as she woke up, she decided to send a note to the people who had delivered the books to thank them, only to discover that she had dreamt their arrival. Present in the dream, the books were absent on the ground, nowhere to be seen at her door. There's so much to say about women and flying, or for that matter, about flying as dreaming, or dreaming as reading, and reading as crossing distances. A navigational act, flying requires us to confront altitude, to leave behind something or someone of value. Women may fly in its multitude of forms, and often in their own heads, to escape from the things that oppress them, to be free from general burdens. A flying book, we could imagine, or a woman as a book flying, is like a spirit caught in the act of freeing itself. This is especially so in the case of books by women and by those whose stories too often have been grounded, erased, or suppressed. And yet, even when suppressed, they have retained an absent presence which has ultimately allowed them to partake of the power of a dream. My friend was dreaming of books flying to her. Lockdown only sharpens these long lines of thought. It's odd to think how many books have been flying around, at least early in the life of lockdown, travelling vast distances across the sky, while women stay on the ground, locked in, unable to fly even if they wanted to or could. We stay home, so do men, while almost everything else travels everywhere. Homebound, we dream more, including of the books that don't arrive, declared non-essential items in a worsening viral tide. There are books that don't arrive, and others that have disappeared. Nowadays, there are books that are virtual, and others that are tangible. Virtual books can be read without being touched, except on a screen. Tangible books can be read while being held and touched. We want to fly books to ourselves, even when we can, with enough searching, find almost anything online. And we search for real books that have become strangely absent. I myself have been searching persistently for my copy of Roxane Gay's memoir, Hunger. I've wanted it so much that I keep returning to the pile where it lived until it disappeared. Perhaps my friend who dreamt of books arriving secretly has it. She said she was afraid to read it for what it would reveal about herself. I wanted Hunger not because I hadn't read it, but because I had. Hunger is available on Amazon at $7.27. Why don't I get hold of Hunger, even if I can? Why couldn't I find it, when you can find almost anything you want? Sisonke Msimang says in her memoir, Always Another Country, I've written in the margins of every book I've ever loved, adding, I write because I read. I wanted Hunger because I wanted to reread it, with the bits marked up that flew off the page at me before I even knew why, and to write with it in mind. It was the force of Gay's prose on her hungers of all sorts that stayed with me, here on the ground, in a time of prohibition and multiple forms of hunger, as she came flying in, present in her absence, a million miles away from her writing context. The lockdown was meant to save us from a virus, but for many it meant flying away from the virus only to be grounded by hunger. Seeing the queues for food parcels during South Africa's lockdown, unfurling along very long streets, the straight lines of apartheid urban planning and their utterly unforgiving sharp-angled corners, recalled for me the queues to vote for democracy in 1994. Hunger for freedom, hunger for food. The question of hunger, I recall Gay writing, was a physical problem to be overcome, and more than that. What she was able to voice was the complexity of her bodily lives. Persisting in their complications, flying off in their own directions, refusing to stick to a semblance of a singular path. Her subtitle is A Memoir of brackets My Body. The traumas of the body, recursive, unspooling from itself, or, to be precise, a living being, the precise and imprecise paradoxes of embodiment. People think they know the why of my body. They do not, she wrote. What are the costs of survival? I remember her asking. Remembering a book is not the same as reading it. To open a book and to read it is to mark it, to lace it with traces of our own writing, our own thoughts, those induced by the book. Such traces are often written at the margins of the text itself. They constitute the remembrance of our reading. For a book to fly, it often needs such traces on the page and in our mind. Without them, some books are easily forgotten. The stories they tell are grounded, caught in the clutches of their pages. For a story to fly requires a conscious act of memorialization. Sisonke Msimang says that writing, for her, is like flying. It is the moment when she can leave. She can begin to leave where she is in geographic space. For her, the turbulence you fly into is half the point. This is especially so, she writes, for an opinionated middle-class black woman such as herself, writing about race and feminism, amongst other things. I write into an embrace of the criticism I get every week online. I lean into the troll hate and I write against it, she says, adding that sometimes the trolls help me, they provide me with handles, with layers of discussion worth having. She writes her books, including her memoir, to, quote, take Africans and women and humans out of the impossibility of the situations in which we have found ourselves stranded. Stranded, or we could say, grounded. Writing a novel, writes Deborah Levy in her memoir, The Cost of Living, requires many hours of sitting still, as if on a long-haul flight, final destination unknown, but a route of sorts mapped out. In order to land it, to make it into a book that others want to read, writing has to become more interesting than everyday life, she says.